Thanks, Ryan. Hello, everyone. It's good to be here. It's lekker to see all of you. I am a bit nervous, obviously. You all know. I'm not going to say it again. But, yeah, it's also a privilege. And I really pray that that God will speak tonight and that that you guys will hear what I'm trying to say. Yeah, so I'm going to jump right in. If you want the sermon title, it's The Yoke of Jesus in Contrast with the Yoke of This World. There's a lot to say, but I'm going to try my best to just compare the two and what it looks like and so on. So please turn your Bibles to Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Niks maak my so nie, almal is net soos op hulle foon, is nogal vreemd, maar. So I want us to look at this powerful invitation from Jesus, where he offers us a radical alternative to the way we often live our lives. It's a life of rest, peace and freedom. So let's read this passage. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I want to repeat that. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you don't know what a yoke is, back in the day, there's still rabbis, no? Yeah. A yoke was what the rabbis in Jesus' time would use to describe their way of interpreting and living. Hello? Okay, again. It's a way that the rabbis back in Jesus' time and now as well would interpret the Torah, and it's a way to describe their interpreting out and living out the Torah as they see it. So when Jesus says, take my yoke, he's saying, adopt my way of doing life, if you hear what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is, if we look at this, we want to get perspective from Jesus. How does he see life? How should we do life? That's the idea here. So I can ask all of us, have you ever feel burdened? Overwhelmed by the demands of life? Trying to keep everything together? I believe Jesus is inviting us to look at things differently. To exchange that burden for something lighter. He says his burden is light. So we're going to explore what does it mean to take on the world's yoke and what does it mean to take on Jesus' yoke and what's the difference, kind of. So what does the world put on us? The world's yoke is characterized by busyness, distraction, competition, materialism, self-reliance. We live in a culture that values hustle and achievement, overworking. Yeah, I'm joking. The world tells us success is measured by how much we can accomplish, how much we can own. We should keep up with everyone else. It pressures us to constantly prove ourselves, to keep striving, keep running this rat race of continuous striving and doing more. You have to work harder to be valuable. You need more money, more success to be happy. If you're not busy, you're falling behind. Who feels like this? I felt like this many times. You have to be successful or you won't matter. Have you been in those, like for me, Decembers? Family time, We have a family, some of them are, in the world's eyes, very successful. Like, and their friends, it's just like, if you outside the vacation home, it's just Land Rovers and cruises and all of that standing there outside. Isn't that crazy? And you drink out of Stanley cups. That's how you. This is. Just, no, yeah, no. No, but it, that's a thing, man. That's a status symbol as well. I'm just saying. So you know what I mean. That's just, yeah. You need more money, more stuff, more status to be happy. That's what the world shouts at us every day. That's what I'm trying to say. Nothing against Stanley. It's a good brand. yeah. But if you think about it, all of this that I've just mentioned, what's the result of this yoke of this world? What's the result of the yoke that the world puts on us, the expectations that the world puts on us? There's a lot of stuff, but I'm going to three that stand out. It leads to exhaustion, anxiety, burnout. Every second person that you speak to is anxious, burned out, it's just exhausted. And yeah, if you live under this world yoke, you're normally tired, you're restless, and you're searching for meaning. Don't hear what I'm not saying. If you just chase after the things of this world, you'll still feel empty at the end. It's not going to satisfy. We all know what it's like to live this way. We've all have this. We all struggle with this. You may be running after promotions or material possessions or trying to keep up with others, like I said. But deep down, it drains you. All of those things that the world puts on us that we have to do. There's always one more thing to do, one more thing to achieve, and then we'll be satisfied. That's the lie. Then we'll be satisfied. Even if we reach that goal, we know people, they reach that goal. They got this, all of this that the world offers, and still it's sad. It's a sad picture if they don't have God at the end. Just an example, that house. If I can just live in Kenrich, there where Ryan lives, a bigger house, a lekker tankie, a swim bike, then gaan ek happy wees. Dan is ek satisfied. Dan is ek happy. En dan gaan bly daar. Het gaan nie satisfy nie. Net daai car. If I just drive that car, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be satisfied. That's all I need. For me, if I can just have that mountain bike. That specialized mountain bike, I'll be so happy and so satisfied. I won't need anything else. It's such a lie. Yeah, it's just that doesn't bring peace. It doesn't bring happiness. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 2, verse 16 to 17. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. That's just in contrast with everything that we just spoke about. I'm going to read it here again. I don't know what translation is this, but for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Then one more, Mark 8, verse 36. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but lose your own soul? That's just sad for me, if you think about it. You gain everything, but you lose your soul. That's a sad picture. And that, yeah. I'm not going to go into that. So what I'm trying to say is the yoke of this world pulls us into a cycle of temporary desires. It promised us this will satisfy. And yeah, and at the end, it never truly satisfies. And with that, it puts this massive burden on us that we have to do, and we think it will satisfy, and it won't. So I'm going to stop now. That's the yoke of the world. Now let's look at the yoke of Jesus. So when Jesus invites us to take his yoke, he's not just offering relief. He's offering a new way of life, a new way to do life, a new way of approaching life, a new, almost like a perspective on life. How do you see life? In Matthew 11, verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." That part, we miss that part sometimes, I believe. "Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So Jesus is saying, "Learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls." So Jesus is offering us rest. This is not, we'll go into that, but it's not a sleep, just sleep rest. It's a rest for your soul. It's a plek van waar jy leef, amper, daai rest. His yoke is not burdensome or exhausting. It's easy, and his burden is light. Sorry, ek lees nou nogals baie, maar ek ken hier die ding uit my kop, het ek net neergeskryf, so forgive me. Ja, dank je. Yes, sorry. Thank you. Wie, net een vraag, wie sien dit en wie besef, hierdie, ja, hierdie is dalk nie die beste manier om te leef nie. Dis eintlik waarop het neerkom. Dis eintlik die vraag, soos, is hierdie wat Jesus vir ons intended, of is ek seker ons 'n beter manier in vandagse lewe? Ek sê nie, ek sal dit later ook sê, maar ek sê nie, hou op werk en begin rondloop soos Jesus nie. Dis nie die gedagtes nie. Dis 'n inner peace wat daar is. Maar as jy moet doen het, maar dis wat ek sê nie. Ja, waar was ek? So ja, Jesus is calling us to a life that is centered on him, in him, on him, trusting in him, and depending on God for our peace, our satisfaction, and our contentment. That's found in Jesus. It's not found in the world. Jesus' yoke is not about doing more, but about being with him. It's about walking alongside him, learning from his example of gentleness, humility, and rest. I want to repeat that. It's about walking alongside him and walking with him. Every day, every second. I'm not akkerheid die reggie, maar ek gloe, daar is hy boek ook, Practicing the Presence of God. Ek wil het net weer lees, want ek denk ek het, ons mis iets. Ek denk, ons kan meer nader aan die Here stap. Jesus himself took time to rest, to pray, and to be with the Father. He didn't rush through life in a frenzy. He was intentional with his relationships. He was intentional with ministry. Even ministry, it's a good thing. But don't try to do everything. It's going to burn you out at the end. Ask God, "God, what should I do? What shouldn't I do?" That's not something, anyways, but that's true. I don't want someone that I disciple to burn out. I want him to live in that which God has for him. That's the idea. That's part of the discipling process, I believe. Mark, gaan 'n bietjie van die notes af. He was intentional with ministry. He was intentional with his connection to God. Jesus. God was intentional with his connection with the Father. You see it all over the Bible. Hoe kan ons nie intentional met dit wees nie? Ek wil dit nie hard nie, dit is 'n mooi ding, dit is 'n amazing ding, wat ons, hierdie connection, wat ons kan hê met God. He was intentional about how he lived life. He was intentional with how he spent his time. Dink daaroor, vir almal beteken dit iets anders. Matthew 6 is 33 to 34. Jesus tells us, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Het is baie dat ek al hierdie skrif gekry. So ek is die ou wat struggle met al hierdie ding ek. Just saying. Ek het 10 jaar terug gekry, ek het 5 jaar terug gekry. En ons baie wat ons, there's a lot that we can take out here. But one thing I just want to pull out tonight is Jesus teaches us to live in the present. Trusting that God will provide what we need each day. His yoke is about embracing God's provision and being free from the constant worry and need to constantly strive for more and do more. For example, this example of my own life as well, but a business owner choosing to prioritize family over working late nights. Dis net 'n normale voorbeeld. Dis nou niks profound nie. Maar or choosing to carve out time to spend time with God before his day begins. To live out of that place of peace with God. And then you know God is in control. God will provide. The world's going to throw stuff at me, but I'm living out of this place of peace with God. And just think about it. You living out of this relationship with the creator of this world. He's in control of anything. So we can have peace in that. We have to do what we have to do. And I'm not saying don't work again. Don't quit your job, but there's a place of peace that we can live out of. So practical application. How do we take on this yoke of Jesus? Just a few practical things. Again, it looks different for everyone. This is like broad strokes, if you want to call it that. Number one, prayer. Prayer is a non-negotiable pathway to peace. You won't find peace if you're not with God. Carve out time to be with God and receive from him. It's not a burden. It's you receive peace from God. Peace comes when you spend time with the God of peace. I'm going to repeat that. Peace comes when we spend time with the God of peace. Number two, slow down. Counterculture in a way, probably, but slow down. Jesus was seldom hurried. He walked everywhere, fully present with people. Again, I'm not saying walk everywhere. I'm saying slow down. if you want to live in the peace Jesus talks about, we must adopt his lifestyle, his yoke. This means saying no to constant busyness, being hurry all of the time, and constant distraction. We'll touch on distraction now. If you think about it, hurry, when you're in a hurry, it kills wisdom. Imagine a situation where jy baie haastig is. It kills wisdom, normally. It kills love, it kills compassion, it kills kindness. Is jy lekker mens as jy heeltyd gejaag is? So again, make space to receive love and peace from God. Then you'll be able to love people. We cannot give what we don't have. Just another example. Instead, in the morning when you wake up, instead of checking emails, WhatsApps, or whatever feed you watch, What if we just started your day? This is simple, but a lot of people don't do this. We've heard this before, but just start your day with prayer and silence with God. Just start there. For me, this is the best time of my day. I look forward to it. I really do. Just especially the past year or two. It's just, I think, van dat ons verwoudseke gekry het. It's net soos, it's hierdie oomlik van net vrede en I can receive from God. And then live my day out of that place of peace. Number three, find rest in God, not in the world's distractions. Many of us try to rest by watching, this hierdie gaan op tone dalk trap, maar by watching Netflix, playing TV games, scrolling social media, or staying busy with hobbies, or over-socializing, filling every second that we have just with a distraction, with scrolling on Facebook. Yeah, it's a distraction. It's not rest. These things don't restore our souls. Jesus calls us to true rest. Time in prayer, going for a slow walk, Sabbath, a slower, more intentional life. So let's just consider Sabbath rest. Not as a rule. If you think I'm giving you rules, missing the point. It's not what I'm doing. I'm trying to think different about how you do life. That's the idea. Sabbath. Not as a rule, but it's a time where we intentionally step away from busyness, from work responsibilities, to recharge physically and spiritually. As jy heel week gebombard is met werkstaf, soos ergens moet jy, Jesus het gerus, ons moet ook rus. En in dit vertrou jy in God, en dat hy, daai werk wat jy nie vandag doen nie, hy is in beheer, verstaan, hier is een ding wat van hom afkom. Weer eens, nie as een reel nie. Just listen to this. Mark 2, verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So wat beteken dit? What this means is the Sabbath was created to help people, not to be a rule or a burden. It was made to help us. God knows better than us. Sabbath is a day of rest. It's a gift from God. It's a day to honor God. It's a protest against the worship of money. A protest against busyness. It's a day to draw closer to God and live out of that place of peace with God. Sabbath, like I said, is not a rule. You don't have to do it. But God created it because he knows it's good for man and it's good for man's soul. Last one, number four. Trust Jesus and his ways over the world's ways. So, om in a kerk suite te sê, maar what if we just trusted what Jesus says is the truth? Think about it. If he says we can find rest and peace in him, do you trust that? Do you believe that? Yeah. What if you just trusted Jesus? The world tells us you need to do more, achieve more, and prove yourself. Jesus says, you are already loved and accepted. Walk with me, abide in me, and I will give you peace and rest. Walking in Jesus' yoke means trusting his way of life over the culture's demands and way of life. There's a difference. Okay, I'm landing. Does it make sense? Just okay, thank you. Almal is so tjoep stil. See, a harde ding, hier is a ding van vryheid, actually. Just net om te sê, dis die hart, dit klink dalk heavy, dis nie heavy nie. Dit is soos, wow, Jesus, there's another way to do this, to do life. I'm almost finished, Ryan, don't look at your watch. Joking. So the question is, whose yoke will you carry? Will you keep living under the weight of stress, hurry, worry, and distraction. Distraction is actually a big one as well. Or will you surrender to the way of Jesus, which leads to rest, joy, and peace in the chaos of this world? So what I'm asking you to consider the way you are living life. Just consider it. Is there a way to slow down, to structure your life, not to be in a constant state of busyness, hurry, or distraction? Is there a way to posture your life, to receive as much of the peace of God as you can, to let Him transform you from the inside out? Is there a way? Look at your own life. Only you will know. And be honest with yourself. Only you will know. But I want to say this. There's a supernatural peace available for us in the chaos of this world when we abide in Jesus and adopt His way of living. Last point. Think about this. Paulus, he wrote most of the New Testament. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was thrown in prison. And how does he start most of his letters? Grace and peace be with you. It's crazy for me. Daai ou iets gesnap van die grace and the peace that we have in Jesus. And that same grace and peace, it's available to all of us. You just have to tap into it. That's that. Amen.